I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
SansPants Radio, Australia's most five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George Dimerillis. This is the show we ask you, what's your story and what does it say about you? And on the show today, we have a former radio host for Hobart, former Australian representing touch footy player, mother of four, and basically an all-round fathlete, if that's right.
How dare you? I said former athlete. I didn't expect you to shorten it to fatlete, although that's probably quite accurate, George. I'm 20 kgs heavier now than I was back in the day. So thank you for that lovely intro.
I'm going to clarify that. I was told to say that. I was pressured to. I didn't want to do it. Alison Plath. Did I say your name, Alison Plath? I don't think I even said your name. Did I say your name?
No, I don't think you did. Call me Al or Ali. If you call me Alison, I feel like I'm in some kind of trouble. So
yeah. Three-syllable names are perfect for telling people off, I think, more so than anything else. Alison, like I said, it needs three syllables to really, you know, Rebecca. Well, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
That's no stress. How old are your kids?
Okay, well, there's a story in itself. So my eldest, now I'll pre-warn you, here's where you sound shocked, okay, when I tell you how old my eldest child is. She's 27.
Wow. Oh, I'm impressed.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe a little bit more shocked. Thanks, George, seeing how you're looking at me down the camera.
So
my eldest is 27.
Amazing.
Thank you. My son is 26. And then round two with my daughters are 13 and 14. So, but yeah, I was really young when I had my first two kids. I was just off 19 when I had my daughter and then just off 20 when I had my son. Having them that young and out of wedlock actually got me kicked out of the Mormon church. Excommunicated. Thanks for coming. See you later.
I can't believe how much we've got already. So I'm talking to an ex-Mormon churchgoer.
Yes, all the exes. That's right. Former radio announcer, former fathlete, as you point it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, former Mormon.
Former Mormon. That's a fun word to say. Former Mormon. okay, so the two eldest. So you're looking after the younger two. The two elder ones, you're probably not stuck with.
Yeah. So yeah, I had a big gap. So when my son, who's my second child, when he finished year 12, the very next year, my next child started prep.
Ah, oh, it's like you just love driving to school.
That's it. I'm still going. I didn't even give myself 1 year off school lunches. What the was I thinking?
That is so funny. with the comfort of never experiencing it.
I can tell you, when my baby, who she's got 5 years of schooling to go, when she finishes, no shit, there is going to be the massivest celebration you can imagine ever.
Unless you have a kid like today.
Yeah, true. I'm thinking about backing it up again.
Round three, baby. Let it roll, I say. It's a very common thing, though, the first batch, and then I've made mistakes and I've learned some lessons, and now I'm ready for round two, 12 years later.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, full disclosure, different dad.
You
did figure that. I just thought, you know, maybe you were having one of those moments where you thought I was really weird and went back 13 years later with the same person. No.
Two again with the same person. That would be a story of its own. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't know either. I failed during contraception maybe.
And then you're like, oh, I'll make a sibling. I've screwed up once. We'll give him a sibling.
Yes, no, that would not happen. Yeah, so there you go. Wow, too much information already for you.
No, I love it. I'm sure we can tie that into stuff as well as we go along. Did you? I'm sure there's lots. You're a multifaceted being with lots of stuff, the radio stuff. I just want to ask about that Mormon thing a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because did you leave before the kids, or did you leave after the kids? Or
so what happened was, so yeah, I was born into the church, so fully indoctrinated. You know, I don't know if you know much about that religion, but it's not like other religions where you're going twice a year at Easter and Christmas. I mean, it is full on. You're there every Sunday. You're going to youth group every Tuesday. You are going to a seminary, it's called, before high school, and doing Bible study. It's all encompassing. You're praying before all of your meals. You know, you're basically, yes, so indoctrinated. But you're still living in the real world. I mean, at primary school, it was like our family was weird because no other kids at the school were Mormons. So all of your friends are not Mormons. So, of course, eventually as you're going through high school and watching all your friends having a drink and doing this and doing that, you kind of start to see the light, for want of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually ended up falling pregnant, and to Jesse and Jake's dad, Mark, who is a wonderful person, but he was a schoolmate. So what happened was, after I had my daughter, because obviously being a member of the church, you're just basically using the denial method of contraception. You're just pretending that it's not happening, la, 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 you know, thinking.
Are you just not allowed to do any?
No. Oh, absolutely not. So you're thinking that you're going to hell, you know, it's not really conducive to probably what the whole scenario of happy times and making love is supposed to be. You know, you're sitting there thinking I'm going to hell, but yeah, you've got a lot of conflict going on. All your hormones running through you when you're at that age. So, yeah, I fell pregnant with Jess. And then after I had her, you get called into what's called a church council, which is basically their version of, I don't know, kangaroo court, whatever. So here you go, you're going into church council, and the bishop of the church says to you, you know, do you repent, and all the rest of it. And there's a lot more to it than that. And I'm like, yes, 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 I repent. I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. But then 13 and a half months later, I had my son. And
like, you didn't waste any time.
I did. Well, okay, very quickly. I went to the doctor after I had my daughter and said, okay, I better get on some contraception. He said, go and get the pill. Wait until your next cycle. Sorry, everyone, but yes. And that never came. I fell pregnant in between him saying, go and get on the pill.
You are just, you're just insatiable. The church never stood a chance of holding on to you by the sound of it. You were a lost cause very early on.
100%. So, yes, needless to say, I was invited back for the second church council, and I just thought, I'm not interested in going. And then they sent me a letter in the mail telling me that I'd been excommunicated from this church that I'd grown up in and had all this, you know, was totally indoctrinated into to an extent, not enough to keep, to behave,
yeah,
you know, under their guidelines. Yeah, they excommunicated me via a letter. I know, like looking back on that now as a 46-year-old woman and being a mother of four children, how could they do that to a child, basically, or an early adult, in one of the most difficult times of her life,
two kids,
send you a letter and say, yeah, and say you're out. And that's not to say that I wouldn't have been welcomed back with open arms. That, I will say that. Like, it's not like some religions where you're out, none of your family can talk to you, no, you know, yep, like you're being shunned by the congregation. It's not like that at all. So I will say that. But still, to receive that letter as a 19-year-old girl with two children saying, you're out, buddy. Wow. Yeah, it was pretty full on at the time, and there were some hefty nightmares.
You mean for you?
Absolutely. It's a really, really tough period of my life.
I mean, so, okay, just to give a bit more colour to that, obviously your family at least was Mormon. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I've got three brothers.
Okay, and were they older or younger?
Two older and one younger.
And are they still in the church or are they out?
Yeah, well, my mum is still in the church. My eldest brother, well, it's strange because he left the church. My two older brothers left the church around 18 as well. So he left the church, and then only about 4 years ago, I found out that he'd started going back to church. I nearly died. I thought, what? You're out. What are you thinking? But each to their own. It's a really, religion is such a deeply personal thing. And yeah, so he sort of is dabbling back in there. My youngest brother still goes to church, but the one, yeah, my next brother above me, he's a heathen like me. Heathen and proud.
Yeah, these little children. We're all evil. Yeah, we're all a mess.
Yeah. I am against the indoctrination of children into religion. That's my personal view. I feel like religion is something that, and obviously there's going to be so many people that disagree with this, but I feel like you need to have an adult mind and be mature and ready to grasp the concepts. And yeah, it's something that I believe you need to be an adult before you should be for yourself indoctrinated. I don't like that. And I don't hold anything against my mum that I went to church, but I don't like that children are deprived of that choice just because they got to go to church with their parents.
It seems like such a big deal. And then, yeah, you can take in there. But I mean, if depending how extreme it is, like if it's not that extreme, then it's like whatever.
100%.
As long as it's not changing your whole life. But the fact is a lot of the time it is changing a lot of your aspects.
That's right. Religiously? Did you grow up religiously?
No. Like my parents were pretty religious and they still are, but I was never really big on that stuff. I'm too chill.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I actually have a weird respect for certain elements of religion, especially the older I get, the more I appreciate the structure part of it and like the focus part of it. And so it's like there's so many religions which require so many hours of the week devoted towards studying them, which you could argue from a purely rational perspective is like, oh, that's time you could have spent doing something else. But the fact is a lot of the people that are doing that are driven in so many other things as well.
Yeah, there are so many elements of growing up in that church have shaped me. And I mean, even the fact that used in that particular church, you will be required on occasion to stand up and give talks in front of the congregation. And I love that their sense of family and that's so important to them. I mean, there are a lot of good things about a lot of religions. I just don't agree with the indoctrination and the choice essentially being taken completely away from you as an individual.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of big writers who are from Mormon people.
Oh, which one?
One that I love a lot, a fantasy writer, Brandon Sanderson. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, I didn't know Brandon. I have heard of him and I've actually got one of his books, which I've only started to read and then got sidetracked because I've been a bit hopeless with reading actually over the last, I would say, 8 years, which I'm rectifying now because reading has always been such a big part of my life. And I think it hasn't helped me to not be reading regularly. But yes, I didn't know he was Mormon.
Yeah, he's a absolute beast. I've never seen anyone write that much in my life. He's the guy's bringing out books, like 800-page books every year or 2 years because he's just a machine when it comes to that. No one has the output he has. Because, okay, just quickly before we start on your book, one last thing is just when you did get...
Hey, I've got nowhere to be. I'm unemployed at the moment.
Yeah, that's true.
This will be a 3-hour...
That's true. Let's go deep. We're going to find out exactly what goes on there at the Brigham Young sort of university, whatever it is.
Yes, it is. You're right. Brigham Young University.
Yeah, I know. I like to know stuff about different things.
I think it's very interesting. And to be honest, a lot of people, when they find out that I'm an ex-Mormon, they're super interested and they want to, you know all about it. And obviously the Book of Mormon, the musical has...
Yeah. Even that though, the funny, when I watched that, I remember being like, oh, they're going to destroy it. But then you watch the musical and actually you're like, oh, actually, no, this weirdly enough, as much as it's taking the piss out of the literal translations of things, which you could do just as much with any religion, it's weirdly actually kind of justifying it in a weird way as well. Like, as in it's taking the piss, but it's also kind of showing how, as times change, religions then update their stories. And even though they might seem ridiculous to you, they actually are updating it for that new audience, just like they've always done. So that's why I thought, was like, oh, like it's taking the piss out of the little translations because they are pretty ridiculous. But
they are ridiculous. That's exactly right.
Everyone gets a planet.
Basically fantasy, isn't it? Like that. It would read as a great fantasy story. I wonder if actually Brandon Sanderson, he should do that.
That'd be interesting.
Well, he wouldn't, obviously, because he's a Mormon.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I could do that.
You could. You got the insight.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I think my favourite fact about the Mormons was that in 1979, they all agreed that God had changed his mind and was willing to allow black people into being Mormons.
That late, 79,
they agreed. They go, actually, you know what? God just told us that black people are allowed into the church.
I had no idea it was that recent. That is disgusting.
Yeah, and they all said, oh, no, it's God that decided this. He changed his mind. We didn't know. It's just us talking to God and he told us black people are cool now. It's just hilarious to me.
I can't believe that. I am so mortified that it was I'm mortified that it ever existed, but that it was that recent. Well, it's like I can't remember when they changed the rule on polygamy, you know. And
have they changed the rule on polygamy?
They have, because you've got regular Latter-day Saints, regular Mormons, and then you've got the break-off, which are called the fundamentalist Mormons. And they're the ones that, you know, still practice me as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, no. So what I want to ask about that, the Mormon thing, was when you got excommunicated, firstly, was your elder brother the heretic, was he already out or was he still in at that point?
He was already out.
He was already out. Okay, so...
had already escaped to victory, yes.
So you did have a support network there?
Oh, absolutely. And look, my mum has been supportive the whole way through. I mean, yeah, because that was, you can imagine, I mean, that was horrendous having to tell her that I was pregnant. You know, I hid it until I was 5.5 months pregnant. So nobody knew, you know, I was in denial.
5.5 months.
5.5 months and still living at home with her and my brothers. How dumb are they? They just thought I'd been eating the bloody blue cheese a bit too hard.
Was it showing or was it not showing?
No, pretty much not, because in there, yeah, I was, like I said, I had to hide it. I was very heavily into touch football. I've played sport my whole life. So I played in a touch football carnival when I was 4 months pregnant with Jess, because I had no excuse to not play. I hadn't told anyone. So everyone would have been saying, oh, what's wrong with Al? You know, why isn't she playing? And then eventually, yeah, I think because when I went to the doctor, he said, yeah, okay, go and get a scan. I think you're about 3 months. Next minute, 5.5 months pregnant. But so, yeah, I had been to a little gathering with all my touch footy team and it was a costume night and I had this sort of big hippie dress on. And my coach at the time, who I was very close to, he sort of must have seen something and sparked up on it. And he pulled me aside and asked me if I was pregnant. And I just burst into tears and I said, oh, my God, you know, I haven't even told my mum and blah, 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 blah. So the next day was a Sunday and I pretended I was sick and mum stayed home from church to, you know, just to be at home with me. And so I had the scan physically. I couldn't get the words out to tell her, so I just handed her the scan. Now, my mum she's an intelligent woman. She chose that one moment to be totally brain dead. So she's pulled out the X-ray, the scan, and she's like, oh, what's this? What's this? You're choosing this one moment to not be able to figure out what the hell's going on. So I just said...
To be fair, I feel like there's emotional reasons why her brain might be doing that.
Yes, you're right, you're right. And I just said, it's a baby, oh, you know, crying, and she started crying. But she could not have been more wonderful, you know, and then, of course, had to ring... One of my brothers was away here, one was away there, so ringing everyone.
Wow.
What was the original question?
No, it's actually exactly about that, the support that you had kind of with that, even as you get excommunicated. Because it's interesting, so for you, the excommunication was actually solely about the religion excommunicating. It wasn't actually about losing the network of family.
It was. Probably the worst was my grandmother, my mum's mum. She came across, she was very judgmental and... She was like, I knew this would happen, you know, probably because I started to maybe not turn up every Sunday to church, you know, starting to go down the heathen path in her eyes. Yeah, so she was pretty bad, but obviously she came good and once I had the kids and...
Grandmas are suckers for grandchildren.
Well, they're great, they're her great-grandbaby, so yeah, she came.
Great-grandbaby, oh yes, that's, yes, she's going to, you're fine. She's going to be a sucker. Yeah, these oldies, give them a grandkid and they do their butter. Exactly. You can do whatever you want.
She didn't have a choice.
Okay, so we've jumped around. We kind of touched on the topic of the book we're going to do, so let's do that and we can jump because you've picked a bloody fantastic choice. So go on, say what your book of choice is.
The book is The Assassin's Apprentice, which is the first of the Farcia trilogy. It's fantasy by an author called Robin Hobb. She's written about, oh, I don't know, 20 or something, maybe a few more than that. She's done a whole bunch of series. And actually you love one of her series, don't you, The Live Ship Traders?
Well, I like them all, but the one that stands out for me probably the most is that Live Ship Traders. I love a good, when an ending ties everything off in a brilliant, clever way where you realize that there was all this stuff along the way that made it obvious. And like, I think that one just nailed that so much, but yes.
Well, she is brilliant. And I guess I've always loved reading. As a kid, I loved reading. There were a bunch of series that there used to be these ones called the Serendipity books. That was probably my first real book that I read as a kid. And also there was one called The Value Tales, which was basically spoke of the lives of, you know, all of these famous people like Eleanor Roosevelt, Louis Pasteur, Marie Curie, really great books on teaching kids about all the different values, understanding patients, all that sort of stuff. I love the Choose Your Own Adventure books when I was a teenager, and eventually maybe Flowers in the Attic actually is what turned me to the dark side. I don't know. I did read that.
I've had a guest on who that was their favourite book. A lot of people seem to like this book. It's a very disturbing book for people to be enjoying.
It's disturbing, but when you grew up a Mormon, it was very educational.
Ah, it would have been downright saucy.
Yeah, 100%, loved it. But yeah, I've chosen Robin Hobb because I guess, well, she's been definitely been my main book obsession. And I think as well, it was my ex actually that introduced me to, or one of my exes. Oh, see, I've got more exes than a carton of 4X. But one of my exes, he said, look, you should read this book. I'm really loving her. And at first I sort of thought, oh, I'm not interested in fantasy. I won't like it. You know, I totally wrote it off because I just sort of thought, oh, well, it's just sort of more for kids and, I don't know, pixies and angels and all that sort of stuff. No offense to those that love pixies and angels. They have their place. But, yeah, I'm
restraining myself right now because you're a guest.
That's all right. It took me by surprise how much I loved the story and I just became completely obsessed with her writing. Yeah, that's why I've chosen her, because it's just...
It's legit. I think she's a really distinct voice, and what she writes is quite different to a lot of the stuff out there. So I remember when I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is like... Even though I was probably fully appreciating it because it was years ago, but I was like, this is really interesting. Yeah, really well written.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So just to give a quick, super brief summary, because it's obviously the whole series goes on lots of different directions, but essentially the basic idea is you've got a bastard-born boy who gets ditched at the castle where it's set in like a medieval-style world. That's fantasy. A bastard-born boy gets ditched at the castle where his dad... who had him out of wedlock. The dad's name's Chivalry because he's meant to be the most upright citizen. So because he's such an upright citizen, he's meant to be next in line for the king, but he stops and then his brother comes in and then the son, this bastard-born son, eventually gets trained as like a squire. Eventually it turns out that he's good at being an assassin, and the story's got... like, it's very politically complex in terms of it is about countries against each other and stuff like that in this whole fantasy world, which is another cool feature of it because it's like very much on that political side. And yeah, and then he just has his impact.
You're doing so, I'm so glad you are explaining this because you're doing such a better job than what I would. You've nailed it. You've absolutely nailed it. And obviously, yeah, there's so much to it, isn't there? Like, he's got this, I guess, superpower or special power, as you might call it, called The Skill. It's so interesting, isn't it? It's almost like you can read the mind, you can teleport yourself into another space, can't you, and watch what's going on and spy. And but that's kind of like destructive physically to the person, and it's almost like an addiction. And I don't know, she's just amazing.
No, definitely. And yeah, actually, that's the other part of that, because that skill, you can also bond with animals as well, right? That was the other part.
Yes, that's right.
Bonds with animals.
The wit.
That's the one. Yeah.
I was going to say The first word that came into my head was bestiality, but it's not that at all.
That's more flowers in the attic. Sort of thing.
That's right.
No, so I guess, and again, the series goes on. There's like, it gets crazier and crazier, like just in terms of like the depth, there's dragons, there's old ancient races that have been interacted with and timber. And it's a very good book. I love the series. But I guess I was trying to go over it and trying to think of like connection points. Like, I guess what about her writing and about this story, I might as well ask first, is why do you think you liked it so much?
Well, it's a classic. That particular character, Fitz, is his name. He is just the classic underdog. The poor literal bastard is just up against it from the word go. And despite the fact that he has all these amazing talents and skills and, yeah, I mean, it's just he keeps getting kicked again and again, and it's like he basically saves the world but, you know, like gets no credit for it, and it's all in the done sort of stealthily, isn't it? And I think it reflects reality quite well, even though it's fantasy. It's just like life. You can have someone who is really capable and has so much going for them, but unfortunately, life just sometimes does keep kicking you, and you just got to keep getting up again and again and do your best, you know. Own your flaws, admit your shit and get on with it, and try not to be a total asshole along the way to everyone else. I don't know.
That is definitely one of the first things I would have thought looking at it. Like, so, and obviously you can feel like that maybe relates to elements of your life that you look back on.
As you said, it's intelligent writing too. Like it's really incorporating a lot of big concepts, and I love that. I love back in the medieval, that's that kind of that realm and the hierarchy. And
it is, it's cool. How when did you first read this? How old were you?
Mid-20s to 30.
Mid-20s? Okay. Yeah. So around that time. So that's the first kids growing up. Were you still married? Were you still with the guy at that point?
No. So I was with Jesse and Jake's dad for 4 years. Like I said, we were babies. We were just mates and you know. But, yes, then I got back together with my original, with my first boyfriend at high school. So
really kept it in the loop there.
Yeah. So he is the one that put me onto the fantasy books, onto Robin Hobb. So I am forever grateful. When I recruit a partner, I just think, what will they be like as my ex? Because I just presume that's going to happen down the track. I'm a realist.
That's a positive start to any relationship. Yeah.
That's right.
Will they be a dick as an ex? Yeah.
That's right. I work from the end, and you know.
That's okay. I guess that's kind of beautiful in a way. Actually, weirdly enough, that could tie in a little bit because one of the things I was remembering about the book, and something which struck me as well and made it really distinct. It's one of the few times I've read something where not only does he not get the credit he deserves for the work he does, but the book really is about plans not finished, plans getting ruined, half growth, like as in even his ability, which is meant to be this super ability, like it kind of doesn't get to where it's meant to because it gets cut off because he overexerts himself. So most movies or something, the character will do that, but then they'll come back better than ever and they'll be super powered. But case, there is this case where like there's a constant undercutting at the knees, just like, like, I was wondering whether that related to something where it's like, in real life, you don't get to have the full flowering of every ability or whatever. A lot of the time it does get cut off and, yeah, you're now stunted, yeah. And it's like, that's just the way it is. And, like, that's not bad. That's just how life is.
Exactly. Two steps forward, one, you know, three steps back sometimes. It's just, yeah, you're right. It is. It's frustrating. Life is frustrating. You know, I'm really frustrated at the moment because I'm, as you said, I worked in Hobart for the last 3 years in my dream job, which was Triple M Brekkie radio announcing. And now I'm out of work and I'm just so hanging to get another opportunity. But it's really difficult. I mean, so many announcers have just been laid off, and so there's so many more of us in the pot now hoping to get those elusive.
Yeah, yeah.
My former co-host, he had been on air for 23 years. You get there, you're so excited. And that's a bit like Fitz in Robin Hobb. In The Assassin's Apprentice, he's just about there. He gets there and then it's like, something gets taken back from him. And you just got to suck it up, don't you? What else can you do? You know, punch a pillow in your room, have a scream, do something. But ultimately, you just got to get on with it and suck it up because also, and maybe that's why I liked reading about Fitz, someone's always worse off than you. So shut your pie hole and stop freaking whinging. because there's always someone far worse off than you. Get over yourself.
I see. Do you think that's an attitude you kind of have? You, when you feel down, you're like, some other people have got a lot worse than I do.
Yeah, and don't worry, I'll have my sulky moments. So I'm not trying to make out as if I've, you know, some kind of saint that's just like, it's okay, you know. Yeah, I have my moments where I'm. We'll have a bit of a whinge to myself or whoever will be prepared to listen at the time. Thanks for listening today, George. Today's your lucky day.
And all my listeners.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, you do. You do just, and I'm sure we're all the same. You know, you just, you need to have a chat to one of your friends, one of your trusted people when you're having a bit of a low moment, and then just suck it up and get on with it. Go and eat a peppermint arrow or something. Make yourself feel better. Put on another 2 kgs.
Yeah, just really own that fat fleet title.
Yeah. Don't worry.
All right, so I couldn't say it again. All right, once is enough. You only gave me pass to say it once.
No, hey, I am someone who you do the crime, you do the time. You know how a lot of people say to me, because I am about 20 kilos heavier than what I was back when I was playing at a decent level of touch. And it's like, but you know, you've had 4 kids and all the rest of it. Yes, of course. And you're getting older. Yes, I agree. But for me personally, it's because I've eaten about 568 kilos of hollandaise over the years and 2,000 mockers. So it's got nothing to do with my, I can't blame my kids at my age. It's my indulgence and laziness. So there you go. In enough.
And you own that shit.
Yes. And I've loved every second of that. Don't you worry about that. But it's time. It's time, George.
Time to ease up a little bit, I guess. Whatever.
How dare you?
What are you? I thought that's what you meant. That's what you were saying.
It is.
I'm so nervous now. You've got me stressing out.
Well, as I said to you, I've been roped into playing in a touch football carnival in 2 months' time. I can tell you right now, I've got some work to do.
I can imagine. I guess to try to, again, the idea of this all is just finding connections wherever you can with whatever. So you at that point of 25 to 30 when you were reading this, what were you doing in your life at that point? Were you in radio?
No, not at all. I got into radio quite late, but... Yeah, I guess for me, and maybe why I really did love fantasy books is it was such an escape. I think I mentally needed it. I really think I did at that time because, as I said, I mean, I had a lot going on. I mean, I was being excommunicated. I did, full disclosure, probably around my mid-20s, a little bit later, I went back to church probably for only a month or so, and I just thought, no, I don't believe in it. It's not for me. But, yeah, you know, so you've got all of those years of stuff going on within your mind. I remember calling my ex he was my current at the time. We were living in Sydney and he was away for work. And I had this nightmare where I actually dreamt of me going to hell. You know, I was in at the basically – talking to God. And yeah, it was really weird because I won't give you the full things of the dream, but at the sort of the crux of the dream was I'm here in this massive cavernous, dark nothingness and God's talking to me and he said, so I don't know, this will be good actually. Maybe one of your listeners can tell me what this means. But he said, do you know your men, in this big booming voice? And I said, no. And immediately dropped to hell and then woke up in like a lather of sweat. Isn't that horrific? And I had to ring my partner at the time at like 3:30 in the morning and I was beside myself, bawling my eyes out. And it took him ages to console me. I just couldn't. Oh, it was just horrific. So, yeah, I had all this stuff going on. I think that reading really was a massive therapy for me.
Just a chance to escape. Get out of your head.
And I guess kudos to Robin Hobb, the fact that she could grab me and give me that. Just loved it. And it was that genuine escape. And I'm sure that a lot of people use fantasy for that.
Oh, no, yeah. No, it's definitely something I used to quite enjoy. Although I don't even know what it was. I was just like escaping for no reason, just escaping. But definitely for what you're saying there. Well, so at that point you were like, your kids would have been 6 or 7, 5 or 6, whatever. Weirdly enough, it's something I've got a theory about. I've developed from seeing a lot of friends now having kids and family and stuff. The first 5 years of kids' life, basically, the parent is stuck there and they're not going to think about much because they can't do anything. Like, you are a prisoner to this kid. Your life is 24/7, that kid, and that's it. But as soon as you get about the 5 year age, I feel like that's all of a sudden when parents take a step back and breathe for the first time, where like for good or for bad, like they're so stressed and constantly engaging the kid, they don't have time to think about anything outside of that. just because I've seen it happen a few times. So it's just funny you're saying that when the kids were about that age, you were all of a sudden maybe being like, what's going on? What am I doing?
Yeah, exactly. And my partner at the time, he started to dabble in religion a little bit. So that probably kind of, and we separated not long after that. But then, yeah, it was a little bit after that that I sort of thought, oh, yeah, how do I feel? Do I believe in it? And started going back for a little bit. But yeah, I saw the light. Hallelujah, brother. Once bitten, twice shy. You want to cast me out of your religion? I'm never coming back. Showed them, didn't I? They were secretly there all at church going, oh, thank God she's moved on. Poisoning our children.
You're like, yeah, fuck you guys. Yeah. You thought you had me. That's like, well, you came back here. You're trying to help yourself. We're here to help. You're like, ah, you're not going to get this guy, you idiots. They're like,
I never liked the cheap white bread they use for sacrament anyway. You know, give us some kind of nice sourdough.
I see. Now it just sounds, it's starting to sound more and more like they kicked you out.
That's right.
For your complaining.
I think maybe I just felt like I went back because I felt like I wanted to have the final say. No. I dumped you, other way around. Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah, we're settling on that as the definite answer.
That's right. It's you, not me. Move on.
Yeah, and it's my choice.
Yeah, that's right.
Since then, though, you haven't had that kind of inclination again?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. Look, I think I'm a spiritual person, and maybe that's because I grew up in that way. I believe in something, don't know what. Basically, I believe in being a good person. Be kind, be inclusive, love each other, accept that we've all got shit going down that we don't know about. Yeah, and just try and be a good person. And clearly, oversharing is caring.
Look, it's fun. That's what this show's all about. So I don't know if you're doing this to the guys when you buy groceries or something, but if you're at Woolies being like, hey, so I was a Mormon.
Everyone's like, come on.
So I guess I just out of curiosity again, just for the time frame and see if this relates in some way, but so that late 20s, 25 to 30 range, was there any decisions made there? Did you change what you were doing in your life? Was it like, because it seems like you hit that point, you had gone back to church, but then you stopped that and you haven't looked back since. I'm wondering if that period involved any other changes in general.
Like I said, it was through the time when, Robin Hobb, I think she started writing that series in about 95 and the last book was 2017. And she'd written other ones in between. But yes, definitely.
You've been like enjoying every book as it comes out for the last 20 years.
Well, no, because she'd written, I think she'd actually written a lot before, trying to think now, before I really had started reading. Maybe it was after Paul and I separated, I don't know.
I'm looking it up. The first book came out in 1995.
Was it 95? Yeah. Maybe it was a bit later. Maybe it was early 2000s, like about 2004 when I started reading her. So maybe there were quite a few out because I feel like there was. So, yeah, look, she's definitely seen me through a couple of separations and hefty. Like the father of my first two kids, we were together for 4 years. My other significant relationship before my husband, that was like a 13-year saga on and off, long distance, all the rest of it. Yeah, and obviously going back and seeing whether I did want to get back into religion, which I didn't. When I met my now husband, full disclosure, we're separated, but when I met my now husband, love him to death, one of the best humans ever on the planet, I really felt like he was very different to anyone I'd met before. Embarrassingly, he was also a halfback. So were my other two exes, actually.
Halfback?
Yeah.
So there's a certain body shape at least that you like.
Honestly, I feel like I'm going to need therapy after this.
That's hilarious. You know what you like and you stick to it.
I can't even speak about that. He was someone that was very encouraging of me because, yeah, I started having kids when I was 18 unexpectedly. So I didn't go to uni. I hadn't had a career. I'd mainly been a mum. I'd done, you know, sales jobs here and there, but I'd never really had the career that I'd wanted to have. So my husband was very encouraging of me to pursue that. So I started doing stand-up comedy. I started, you know, writing and then started doing community radio. I thrive on creativity. So I'm someone that needs to do that. And he was really encouraging of that. And yeah, luckily enough, after doing community radio for about 18 months, I landed that gig in Hobart on Triple M Brekkie and then lived 3 years away from my family, which is the way that all panned out. They originally were meant to move down 6 months after I did because I wanted to sort of give it a crack first, see if I was any good. I thought, oh, my God, I might get down there and get found out and they just go, oh, move on, lady. But due to my husband's work and circumstances up here, they couldn't move down. So I did 3 years living apart from my husband and two kids, which was really tough.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the first time I'd ever lived on my own because I obviously had the kids, my first two kids, when I was still living at home with my mum and brothers. So
I love it because it seems like a later stage where you've gone and done the things which other people did when they were 19 or 20. You've kind of done things almost in reverse.
I have. It is the way it panned out. And it wasn't our intention, like I said. And I think Steve, my husband, he regrets not moving straight away in that first year. He didn't really have a choice. Like I said, with his work, it was just circumstances. But I really wish that they had that opportunity to sort of move away from our regular life up here and what we'd always known and have that adventure. So, yeah, it would have been wonderful to have been able to do that, and it's not the way that it turned out, which is okay. That's life. It was almost like, because you've got to throw yourself into a job like radio, especially when you're in a town like Hobart that are really quite parochial, and you have to prove that you deserve their
attention.
Yes, exactly. So I threw myself into life down there and played my first season of AFL, and I played a couple of seasons of cricket, and I was in two musicals, We Will Rock You and My Fair Lady, and
I embraced
that city and I loved it so much, and it just has such a special place in my heart. But, yeah, because I was there living on my own, it's like I was kind of doing maybe what I would have done in my 20s but never had the opportunity to do.
Yeah, that's really nice in that sense.
Yeah, I'll always appreciate the fact that I had that opportunity, even if I never work in radio again, which hopefully I will.
That's really nice. And I like the fact that, just because it's a bit later and it's past when other people do it, you still can do that stuff and you can still enjoy that.
Yeah.
And also try lots of new stuff. It sounds like you've got no fear of failure or anything like that.
I probably should. When I start doing it, people are like, oh, my God, get her off the field. She's got no idea. I don't know how many ducks I got in cricket.
Really?
Yes. So embarrassing. Finally, I got 24. Not out? No, maybe I was out. The very first over I bowled, unbelievably, probably because they had no idea what the hell I was bowling, neither did I. It's a cross between a Chinaman and a low pace, no pacer. I got, and here you go, I'm having a brag, 2 for 3 off one. I don't know if you follow cricket, but yes, that was my very first over, 2 for 3 off one. I should have left it there. Anyone ever did 2 for 3 off one again?
Never again. Yeah, look, that's beginner's luck. And it does sound like it would have been the method you were doing.
Well, I had three brothers, George, so you can't grow up, you know, I grew up in Brisbane with three brothers playing backyard cricket every afternoon/weekend/school holidays. And then I wasn't allowed to play for club or school. How wrong is that?
Is that because you were pregnant?
Probably. Thank you, George. Hey, no, it's because I was a bloody girl and they wouldn't let us play. How wrong is that? How good is it now that women can play? So, yes, I never got to play when I was a kid, and it would have been the one sport that I would have loved more than anything. So I got to play in my 40s. For the very first time, 2 seasons of cricket.
I love that. You miss out on that, you do it later, it's all right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, this actually does weirdly tie into the book about, you know, like failure and loss and stuff, and how you can still do something afterwards. It might not be perfect, you might not have the youth, but you can still do it and it's still okay, whatever it is.
Exactly. Maybe that's why I'm reading Fitz again now. I've just started again. I'm going to start the whole series over again. So, yes, hopefully I'll get some insight as to how I can turn this situation around, get another job.
Yeah, learn how to speak to animals or something.
Yes.
Do you feel like during this whole process you maybe have learnt a new appreciation for your connection to Robin Hobb in some way?
Absolutely, and I've got you to thank for that. Yes, for sure. We clearly don't delve into why we do things enough, do we? But
yeah,
100%. And I really do believe that, first and foremost, she is a brilliant writer. So, as I said, I really highly recommend her to everyone, because I for one, was someone that I never, ever would have imagined that I would be so into fantasy. But, yeah, I really think that it was so therapeutic for me at that time. I really needed her. Love you, Robin, and love you, George.
Ah.
That little and my apologies to anyone that needs to go and seek medical attention after listening to this. Sorry.
It's all right. That's what this show's about.
God, I'm so
Okay, well, thanks very much for that. I'll call it off there. You've been really fun. Cheers, Alison.
Thanks, George. So have you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.